That song right there is, Lord really, really has an anointing upon that song. This came to me as, while I was thinking about that and listen to the words of this right here. Page 56 of our old hymnal. It says, there is joy divine that is ever mine since the Lord has forgiven me. I work and I sing for my blessed King. By His grace, I have been made free. Amen. There is grace for every need. Grace for you, grace for me. Keeping true, keeping free. Precious, saving grace indeed. Flowing from that throne above. Grace to cover all my sin. Grace to all who believe. Oh, this grace now receive. Full forgiveness, all may win. Yes, there's grace in the Lord's perfect love. That is a beautiful song. Amen. You got your Bible tonight? Turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, grace. All because of God's grace that I stand here before you tonight. You say, well, preacher, you speak a lot on that subject. You know, I can't help but do that. That's what got me to this place. That's what's keeping me. I'm going to show you in the Scriptures. I'm going to show you here in the Scriptures. Paul told Titus to affirm this thing constantly. We should affirm it constantly. That it's by not by our works of righteousness, but by His grace. Praise God that we are here doing what we're doing. Before we go into this exposition of this chapter, we're really going to start at chapter 3, verse 1, but I want you to follow me. I want you to show you something here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I will remind the hearers here that Paul had already made known to Titus in chapter 2 that it was the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I believe with all my heart this all men means especially or specifically all types of men. Not all men in particular. Why? Because Paul goes on to instruct that this grace teaches us. It teaches us. If it's appeared to all men in the world, then it should be teaching all men in the world. But it's not. It's teaching us. It's appeared to all types of men. For God is no respecter of persons. He is saving the Gentile as well as the Jew. Right? Why? There's not a one in the world that is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, the grace is teaching us and we that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Paul had done reminded young Titus of this fact before he goes into chapter 3, that this grace has us looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So Paul verified that the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to the all men, is all types of men, because it's teaching us. And it is having us look for a blessed hope, which is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? It goes on to say, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, these things speak. What things? The fact that grace has appeared to us and taught us. The fact that it has us looking for a blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior. The fact that Jesus gave Himself for us, that He might purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things, Titus, I want you to speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Right? Let's not break the train of thought here. Let's go on to chapter 3. Put them, who are them? The us. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no growers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. He's telling them, Titus, to put them, those who have this grace, in mind of these things. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was us. Amen. We were at one time living in these things, and I'm reminded right here of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, says, where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. At one time in our life, that was us. At one time in our life, you remember back in that time when you were weighted down? You was in your sin and you was in your misery. Amen. We didn't have no peace. We were without hope. There wasn't no blessed hope in our life, praise God. Always through the scriptures, always grace and peace be multiplied. First, you got to have grace before you ever have any peace. God's got to come to you with that grace. Amen? And at one time, we were all deceived and serving these divers lost in pleasures. Right? I remember them days. I remember when I had no hope. Praise God, I thought hope was a six-pack on Friday afternoon. And a case on Saturday. And a little bit extra through the week. I thought that was hope, praise God. That's what I had my hope in, the earthly pleasures. The earthly thing. Trying to cope with life through the alcohol. And through the things of this life. Because I had no peace. Amen? Oh, but let me tell you. God didn't stop there. He said, put them in mind of these things. That they were once like this. But praise God, God didn't stop there. Amen? God always has a but. He always has a but there. Praise God. There's a but in God's Word. Of course, here's not the but. You go over to Romans chapter 3, it talks about the but. But here, praise God, God didn't stop there. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior to a man of peace. Amen. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works of righteousness. I wish to God when I was young in the world somebody had put me in mind of these things, praise God. I wouldn't have been trying to work my way to heaven. I wouldn't have been stumbling around, praise God, trying to make it in Christ, hallelujah. But now I don't stumble, hallelujah. I don't look for a belief system, but I trust in a person, praise God. And His name is Jesus. That's what my trust is in. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith. I don't get up in the morning worried about keeping some rule or regulation. I get up in the morning, praise God, putting one foot before another, walking by faith, hallelujah. Because I have my trust in a person, praise God. And until you come to that realization, you'll struggle in your Christian life. You'll struggle. You'll always be up and down. trying to cope with things. But God don't want us to cope. He wants us to realize that we got to just cast it on Him. It's all about Him. If we just walk in what He has said, praise God. Look unto Him. Amen. I'm reminded right here of Ephesians 2:4. These letters are just intertwined, praise God. Remember? Titus 3:1 and 2 reminded me of Ephesians 2:2 and 2:3. But of Titus 3 and 4 and 5 reminded me of Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. It said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now in that day, no one had to tell you. When that grace come in your life, honest, no one had to tell you. In 1971, I believe it was, no one had to tell you that Jesus stepped there, praise God, and give you some grace. You knew it, hallelujah. Amen? You knew it. You knew when Jesus come into your life. You knew when that grace, when heaven touched your soul and regenerated you and made you a new creature. You knew that, praise God, because you become alive that day. That's what Honest was teaching about this morning, the woman at the well. Oh, give me that water where I don't have to come and draw no more. My God, I've got living water, praise God. As the Scripture said, He didn't believe it on me. As the Scripture said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water, praise God. Amen, I believe on Jesus. And I've been given these living water. But if you got your Bible, turn over to John 6:44. If you can keep up with me. John 6:44. That day when that grace touched your soul, no man had to tell you. No man had to let you know. Amen. It's all by God's grace that we are where we're at today. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, in the last day, church, we've got this belief that the withdrawing is just a wooing. God is just trying to entice us or maybe dangle the little carrot before it. But praise God, I don't believe that. I believe the drawing is, as the Greeks said, it's when they drew and they drove old Paul into the marketplace. They dragged him. They began to beat him. So God dragged us, praise God, by unto Him, praise God. But we don't come unwillingly because God regenerates us and gives us a new spirit and takes away a stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh, praise God. That gives us His spirit to where we run to Him, hallelujah. We run to Him. Look at John 6:45. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's regeneration. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me, praise God. When God does a work in your soul, no man has to tell you, praise God, that you've been regenerated. You begin to sing. You begin to shout, praise God. You come up in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Because God resurrects you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, praise God, as my Father brings to life or resurrects who He will, even so do I bring alive who I will. But the Father has to draw you. And when you come to Jesus, He said, I'll no wise cast you out. I give you newness of life, hallelujah. I give you water that you don't have to go draw no more. Amen. When this happens, I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture. And when this happens in your life, then we're like David in Psalms 42:1-2. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When that happens in your life, you begin to pant after God. You've got no wisdom and the knowledge of how to walk as of yet, but you know that something happened in your life. You know that someone touched you, praise God, and resurrected you and made you new, hallelujah. And you can't help but follow Him, hallelujah. What made them men follow Jesus when all He did was walk by and say, come and follow me? It's because God gave them a spirit, praise God, to perceive and to see that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. God quickens and brings the light whom he will. Amen. We even see this in the Old Testament. But here in the New, in Acts 26:17, Paul was sent to deliver from the people, from the Gentiles. He said God told him he'd deliver him from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom he now sinned, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. Amen. God does that. He turns the people from darkness unto light. He's the one that opens the eyes. Amen. You know why the people of Israel didn't have no faith? Because God didn't open their eyes. Can you prove that, preacher? Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 29, and I will prove it. The gospel was preached to them, even as us, but it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. God didn't give them none. He didn't open up their eyes to see. If you had Deuteronomy 29, say amen. Deuteronomy 29, verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel, said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. They had seen it all, buddy. God had worked so much miraculous stuff that anyone should have come to faith. But unless God regenerates you, a sign and wonder won't do you no good. Watch this. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. God had not given them eyes to see, and ears to hear. They had no regeneration. God brought them out with a high hand, but it didn't profit them because it wouldn't mix with faith. They heard, praise God, the gospel. You know what? All the Old Testament people had their faith in one person, and his name's Jesus. Hallelujah. There wasn't no separate gospel over in the Old Testament. They were all saved the same way. They had faith in Christ. If you go into the book of Acts and look, Paul went into the synagogue daily and into the schools daily, disputing that this Christ was the very Messiah. And he used the Old Testament to prove that Jesus must die and suffer and be raised from the dead, and that he would call out from among the nation the people for his name. There wasn't no New Testament. He disputed from the Old Testament. He showed them in the Old Testament that the gospel was there. Praise God, the gospel was in the Old Testament, but they rejected it. Why? The Bible plainly tells us so that mercy could come unto us. Amen? So that mercy could come unto us. They rejected it. Titus 3:6. Titus 3:5 says, not by words of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Even Paul had to write to the Colossian church. In 1:9, Colossians 1:9, he tells them, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. God has to give that to us. A natural man can't receive these things. A natural man doesn't have grace. I didn't have no grace until that day in 1992 when God regenerated me, praise God, standing in my front yard. Grace come up into my life, and I become a new creation, hallelujah, in Jesus. I become a new creature which never has existed before. God has took both Jew and Gentile and made them one species. Praise God, he made them one man, the Bible said. He brought us up into the newness of life. But I had no grace up until that time. I was a natural man. And walking after the course of this world and looking after the things of this life. But praise God, one day God resurrected and one day God gave me life. And ever since then, I was singing, hallelujah. I was like the dumb man, hallelujah, and the blind man and the lame man. Jesus you, Jesus. Praise God. He told the Ephesian church, Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, Paul never prayed for a Rolls Royce. He never prayed for nothing to eat. He never prayed for a fine change of garment. You look at Paul's prayers, he was always making mention of someone else, that they might know the knowledge of God's will. Maybe I didn't finish Colossians there. The knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Unless God gives you the knowledge of His will, you won't be fruitful in every good work. Amen? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. But he goes on to tell the Ephesians, that was Colossians 1:9-11. He goes on to tell the Ephesians 1:16-18. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. It's all because of His grace. What is the riches of His, the hope of His glory, or the hope of His calling, I should say? It is Christ in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what the hope of His calling is. Praise God, it's not me trying to overcome by some set of rules. I couldn't make it even if I tried. God didn't give me the Spirit so that I could just overcome and work out a righteousness that He would accept. That still wouldn't be good enough, because it would still be tainted with sin, because everything I touch, the Bible said all my righteousness is as filthy rags. And even if He aided me, I couldn't work out a righteousness that He could accept, because I could never be holy. So He had to send His own Son to die upon a cross, praise God, so that His righteousness, His righteous life would be in imputed to me, praise God. Now I can be deemed righteous in the sight of God. Now I can be seated, praise God, in the heavenlies, beside the right hand side of the Father. Praise God, I'm seated there today. Amen. I'm seated there today. I meant to write this scripture down, but I'm reminded of a woman's prayer that's come to me this evening. I meant to put this in here. Oh, praise God, you remember Samuel's mama began to pray, and she said, God, I need a child. My womb is buried. And praise God, God heard her prayer, and He opened her womb, and Hannah began to pray, and she prayed, and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God. Praise God, she's prophesying here. Amen. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. You know every one of us are arrogant. We always want people to see how righteous we are. We need to shun that, praise God, and let God glorify Himself through us. It's not because of what we've done. It's not because of what we're working, but it's because of who is in us. I am by what I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul said. It's all because of who's in me, praise God. Amen. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded. This is Samuel's mama, Hannah. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren had borne 7, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up the poor. The Lord maketh poor and the Lord maketh rich. Women, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. So don't wonder why a neighbor has more than you got, because God put them in that status. He makes one poor and He makes another rich. He raises up the poor out of the dust. This is where I'm heading. And lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. I wasn't even worthy to be called a beggar, praise God. But my God set me up among the princes. Hallelujah. My God set me and she said, to make them inherit the throne of glory. God set me up among the princes and made me inherit the throne of glory. Hallelujah. I'm an heir, joint heir in Christ Jesus. I've been given a hope. I've been given a calling. I've been given an anointing. And I'm going to run with this thing. Praise God. It's not me, but Christ in me. The hope of glory. What God has given me. Praise God. It's not us, but Him that worketh His will through us. Amen. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Him that worketh in us both the will and the do of His good pleasure. I work out what I've already got with me. I work it out. It works inward first. And I just work it out. I manifest it. Amen. It's all because of grace this morning, this evening. Isaiah 44:21, if you want to go over there. Isaiah 44:21. Amen. Isaiah 44:21. You got to remember the covenant he gives, the new covenant he gives to the Jews, we're included. The new covenant he gives with to the Jews, he's included us in. Amen. Isaiah 44:21, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have borne thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. The mountains are commanded to shout. The heavens are commanded to shout and to break forth into singing because of what God's done. It's not because of what we've done, but it's because of what He's done in us. Amen? It's not by works of righteousness. And Titus is to put them in mind of these things. It's not by works of righteousness. Ezekiel 11:19-20. If you want to go over there, I got quite a few scripture here. But Ezekiel 11:19-20. Ezekiel 11:19. And I'm going to chapter 36 after that. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 36:26, if you want to go there, but God said that He would take away the stony heart and give a heart of flesh. And if God doesn't do that, you'll stay in your sin. If God doesn't take away the stony heart that causes us to rebel against Him, if God doesn't take away the stony heart that takes us to walk in the things of this world, because our heart is hardened towards Him, we're alienated and ignorant and blind and dead, but praise God, God can give a heart of flesh, and that's what He's done. Praise God, He took away that stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. So now that I pant after Him, the heart panteth after the water brooks, I pant after Him. I want Him. I desire Him. Amen. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And here he's talking to Israel. Well, praise God, that new covenant, that's the same covenant. Amen. Isaiah 65:1, I am salt of them that ask not for me. That's the Gentiles. We wasn't seeking God. We wasn't longing after God. We wasn't panting after God. But praise God, I was found. I was salt of them that asked not after me. And I was found of them that sought me not. Why? Because the shepherd went up the 99 sheep. And he went out and he found the one that was lost. My God came out and found me. I didn't come to seek Him. I wasn't seeking Him. I wasn't searching after Him. But He called out. He left the 99. And He come out of the wilderness. And He found me, praise God. And He brought me back to the fold. And praise God, He put His spirit upon me. Amen. I want the scriptures teach. preach. And it's the grace of God. The shepherd goes out and seeks the sheep. The woman sweeps her house and searches after her lost coin. That's what the Bible teaches. And the son that went out and wasted his inheritance wasn't coming back to the father to repent, praise God. He was coming out back to work out and to feed his own body a little bit longer. He had devised himself a plan how he might make it by. Now that he had fell among the pigs, he said, well, my father's got plenty, I'll go back to there. I believe that's them that come into the house of God, not seeking God, but they come in. Maybe they want social status. Maybe they want to come in with a friend. But praise God, the father, and it wasn't customary for the father to run out to the son. That wasn't the custom, praise God. If you shamed the father back then, he wouldn't even see you. The Jewish custom was that he would appoint a certain day and let you come before him because you had shamed him in front of the elders of his people. And he wouldn't even let you, he would let you come home, but you couldn't see him. You remember Absalom come home to David, but he couldn't see him. Remember? And Absalom sent and burned old Joab's field and says, you better send to my father and tell him I want to see him. But that wasn't the custom. But guess what? The father run out and fell upon him, praise God. That's those that come to church not seeking, because no man seeketh after God that he's born again. But those come in and they hear the word of God and the father runs out and falls on them. Hallelujah. But some of us are out there in the world and he has to lead the sheep to go get us. Amen. Praise God. And I believe even an unsaved person can sit up under the preaching of the world and God's protection be about them. Amen. Just because they hear the word of God. Hebrews 8:8. Do there say amen. Hebrews 8:8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Remember, the Gentiles have been included in it. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. No one has the teaching to know the Lord if you know the Lord. Right? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So if God's for me, who can be against me? If God don't condemn me, if Jesus don't condemn me, but he's ascending up into the heavenlies, praise God, even interceding for me, who can condemn me? Amen? No one. He said, my sins and my iniquities I will remember no more. Amen? My God didn't just die on the cross to make a way of salvation, as people preach today. I don't believe he died for everyone. I believe he only died for those he chose to save. And he didn't just die up there to make a way of salvation. He died up there to make to save me, praise God. He died up there for me in particular. The two he goats in the Old Testament were representative of Christ. Right? Today's church teaches that Jesus just propitiated God, but there wasn't no substitution. There's only substitution a condition upon you accepting it. Therefore, he died for all, but some won't never get in there. But I don't believe that. I believe the two three he goats represent what Christ done on the cross. He propitiated and then he expiated. Expiation is putting away the sin, never remember it no more. The two he goats, one, the sin was confessed over and the blood was sprinkled, and pray God that other, or I should say one was killed and the blood was sprinkled, and then the other and the sin was confessed over, and they sent him away. That represented Christ putting away our sin, never to remember him no more. Amen. For whom the Father sent to give his grace to those for whom Christ died. Those for whom Christ died. And right here, Paul is telling Titus to teach these things. This is a faithful saying. Titus 3:8. Go back to Titus 3:8. Titus 3:8. Amen. God propitiated and expiated my sin through his son Jesus. He had a plan. He didn't just wing it. He didn't just wing it. Amen. It wasn't just conditioned upon me receiving it, because I'd have never received it. I had a hard, stony heart. And I'd have went on through this life and rejecting Him. But praise God, God chose to quicken me. God chose to make the benefits of Christ's sacrifice for me. He chose in His perfect plan. The Bible actually says, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to His purpose which was given in us before the world began. God had a purpose in His Son Jesus when He came to this earth. But here He said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You say, brother, you sure preach a lot on grace. But He said, these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Affirm it constantly. What mean? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, so He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. These things I want you to affirm constantly. Tell them, praise God, it wasn't because of something they done, but praise God, it's because of what I done in my Son. It's because of what I chose to do in them. Praise God, it's because of my mercy. It's because of my grace. I wasn't obligated to give it, but praise God, I reached down and I decided to quicken through my Son when I sent Him to die upon the cross. I decided to quicken, to regenerate, and to bring in the newness of life. These things I want you to affirm constantly. Amen? Tell the people constantly that this is the way it is. It wasn't because of something we done, but it's because of what God's done. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. What? Yeah. When you realize you got it by grace, when you realize you don't deserve it, you're going to work that much more and that much harder, praise God. Why? Because you're going to love the more. Amen. Jesus even asked one of the Pharisees when He seen that woman wiping His feet with her hair. He said, Simon, let me ask you a question. There was two debtors. One owed a great sum and one owed a little. 500, I think, was one and 50 the other. And he said, and both of them was forgiven. Who loved the most? I guess the one that was forgiven more. Amen. When you realize you didn't get this because of something you've done, you're going to work. Amen. God has called us to work. And people that say they got faith and they ain't got no works, I just can't receive that. God, we are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Amen. You got to go on there in Ephesians chapter 2. That's what it says. Watch this. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. People are going to come to you with all kinds of stuff against this doctrine. People don't like this doctrine. Oh, they begin to sew up when it ain't their choice of who gets in. They begin to soul up when it ain't their choice if they get in. They begin to soul up. They get mad. They don't like the doctrine that God works to save who He will. And the Bible says, I think it's Psalm 3:8, salvation is of the Lord. God reaches down and saves. If He can't save a sinner, if they can resist Him or refute His authority, His plan so that He can't do what He would do, then why in the world pray to Him to save anybody? Amen? God saves who He was. Bible says the door is not too short that He can't reach down and say, neither is ear dull of hearing that He can't hear. God does the saving. All I do is just throw the seed out there. I just plow the field and put the seed in. God's the one that makes it come up. That's just like natural things. You can't make the turnip. You can't make the corn come out of the ground. People get mad about that, boy. They don't want God to be doing the quickening. They want a quicken. Let me tell you, we need to affirm this constantly. Guess what it says about someone who wants? A man that is inheriting. That's one who chooses his own opinion. One who continues to argue his opinions after the first and second warning reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. Why is he sinned? Because it's in pride and arrogance. When you think you're what you've done is what God's favor is on you, then you're going to be in pride and arrogance. You're going to be in sin. You know, we all do that. At times, we all lift ourselves up in pride. We all want people to notice us. We all compare ourselves to everybody else instead of comparing ourselves to what God has said. And if He says that I'm filthy, then I need to be clean. And the only one that can clean me is him. And if he says I'm clean and walking in his will, then his word tells me that it's a mirror. It's a mirror. The law is a mirror. We shouldn't do away with the law just because Christ fulfilled it. We should get in there and look. It'll tell us when we're dirty. And then we can also know when we're clean by looking into that same word. Amen. This tonight, I hope and pray you got something out of this. It's all about his grace. It's not about what we can do. Going to do, have done. You know, I struggled in my Christian life. I think I've been back in church now almost 6 years. But I struggled in my Christian life because I was always thought trying to work. I was trying to make myself right before God. Even though I understood the principle that you can't lose it. I understood that. I believe God saved, he saved. There ain't no way I can undo what God's done in me unless I've got supernatural power. You know what I'm saying? He done a supernatural work on me that can only be undone by him. And this is the will of the Father that has sent me of all that he gives me. I will lose nothing, but will raise it up at the last day. But I'm telling you, I struggled. But I tell you what, the last 6 years have been just a walk of peace. Have you had problems? Absolutely. I have had storms. I've had tornadoes. I've had hurricanes. I've walked through the valley in the shadow of death. But praise God, I trusted in a person. I didn't trust in what I was doing and what I was going to do, but I trusted in a person. I clung to that word and clung to Jesus. That's what we got to do. We got to know that he's the author and finisher of our faith. That's what the Bible says. He started this good work in me and will continue until the day of redemption. I'm like Otis, and I'm like Paul, for I'm persuaded, and I'm persuaded. Ain't nothing moving me out of God's love. I didn't say it couldn't nothing move me out of my own path, right? But if I trust in his love, if I trust in what his word is saying, nothing can move me from God's favor, praise God. Satan comes up and accuses me night and day. He's an accuser of the brother night and day. But God's purpose never wavered. God's love never wavered. And I might be guilty of what Satan's accusing me of, but my God says, hallelujah, he's clean, praise God, because the blood has been applied. The blood has been applied. I'm clean. Now, God might have to take me over to the woods again. Might have to walk me. But you can't nobody say nothing bad against me. Amen. You remember Balaam in the Old Testament? He went up three times. He was hired by Balak three times. He went up to curse God's people. Or two times he did. The third time he didn't. He said, I have found no sin in Israel, neither any iniquity in Jacob. Amen. And I said, wait a minute. Balaam, you... Let me look back here. These people were fornicating while I was up on the mountain. These people were murmuring and complaining. But hey, can't nobody curse us. Because God is the one that does the judging. Amen. God might have to whoop you, but can't nobody curse you. Praise God. I hope and pray you got something out of this. Is there anybody need any prayer tonight? Anybody? I believe in prayer. I believe in healing too. Amen. Any prayer tonight?
Who? Okay.
You want? Y'all ladies want to gather around? I think she's sleeping, but lay hands on her anyway. Amen.